Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Dumisani.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
Great. Doing great.
Fantastic. I hope your day has been good.
No, my day has been good. I was actually about to ask you the same thing. How's your day been?
Well, my day has been good as well. Not as hectic as yesterday, so a much more easier day than it was yesterday. Thank you for asking. It's a bit cold, though. It's a bit cold here in this part of the world. So, yeah.
Like we've actually just gotten a bit of warmth over here. So it's like they're saying for the next 2 days, we're going to have like warmer kind of weather. So I'm guessing we should expect that cold weather should be coming up our way as well soon.
Yeah, I think so, because it comes from the southern parts of the country. Exactly. You know, I think it was snowing that side, that heavy snows were reported. So it's coming up.
You guys must be really cold.
It's freezing, I must tell you that. Now, we are going to be talking about, beautiful one, how to pray. And, Luke 11 verse 1, we're told there, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples. And of course, today's lesson is going to be centered around what actually Jesus said next. But before we get there, we just want to quickly recap on what we discussed yesterday, especially the question for those who may not have tuned in to listen yesterday. Can we be sure that God hears us when we pray?
And actually, yes, we did discuss that yesterday, that yes, we can be sure that God actually hears us when we pray. Not only does he, it's not only something that we wish, but it's something that God says himself, that indeed, I hear your prayers, and I actually want to dwell among my people. Not only does he say that we should pray towards him, but he says, you know what, when you do pray, know that you have received, because I have heard you, knowing that, I like the way that Jesus said it. I don't think we brought this up yesterday, but I like the way Jesus said it when he said that, you being fathers here on earth, when your child asks for an egg, do you give them a serpent? When they ask for water, do you give them, do you then turn them away and not even give them water at all? And he said, now, if you know how to give good gifts, being worldly people, being sinners, you know how to give good gifts to your sons. Mm-hmm. What more your Father who is in heaven, who will give everything, who would actually give, who even puts down his entire life and even puts the, what more when we ask the Holy Spirit of him? And whenever we ask anything of him, he actually seeks and says, he says that we should find him. We should actually look for him. Not so that he can mock us, so that we can actually find the answers. Not only the answers to prayer, but seek him. And I think that turns out better than just finding answers. It's about seeking him who gives the answers.
It is indeed about seeking him. I like that a lot. Now, what prayer template, coming back to today's discussion, what prayer template did Jesus give for us to follow?
So there's a portion of scripture which many of us know, probably even the first prayer that many children learn when they're growing up, is the idea that comes from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. At least that's the iteration that we'll go to today, I think. I think that's the best one to go to. And it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Now, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And this is what he actually, this is the template that he gave. But maybe then the question would be, Zama, do you think then that means that, is that what we should be repeating all the time? Is that the kind, when he said that this is how you should pray, does that mean that that's the way we should pray? Those are word for word. That's the words we should use in our prayers?
Yeah. Now, this prayer, I mean, it's quite, it looks like it encompasses quite a number of areas.
It does.
Perhaps these guys were not, aware of. Now, I want to know what those elements are, in this template.
Mm-hmm. So that's actually exactly what I was doing. I was asking the question to say, okay, do we actually put it forward do we put those words exact word for word all the time? No, that's obviously not what Jesus was looking for, but like mm-hmm. what you had said, there are principles in there. There are points inside there that we like how it is when we talk about a template. A template mm-hmm. is only, you take the idea from it, but it's not to say that, you copy it exactly word for word all the time. No. So there's a few principles that come up from this template Jesus gives. First of all, we find out that it's our Father who art in heaven. Who actually it's that point of acknowledging who God is, not just some force in the universe. He's not the universe. He is the creator. He is our God. And plus he is our Father, and he is the ruler of the universe. Mm. Not only the creator, but the ruler of the universe, which means he's involved in not only the history of the world, but in our lives indeed. Second of all, there's this part of actually, we ask him, now we actually ask him to supply our needs. We recognize him as the supplier of our needs, or even our physical needs, and even more than just our physical, but even in terms of everything that we need, he is the supplier. Mm. And then it also goes into a part which many of us probably recognize as being part of our emotional and spiritual healing, which is about to be forgiven and to be accepted in heaven and also in earth. And that's the idea of, being not only being forgiven, but also forgiving those who have sinned against us as well, recognizing that we can't do that on our own, but that God is the one who enables us to do so. Then, of course, there's this idea which I think we tend to forget a lot of, and that is to praise God for not just what he does, but for who he is. Yes, indeed, for what he does, but also for who he is. And again, I think one of the most major points that comes up out of all of this, you recognize that prayer isn't just about us. It is about bringing us closer. It's not about pulling God toward us, but pulling us toward God, and therefore asking for his will to be done. So, yes, that's the principles that come up in that. Now, recognizing that that's the template, recognizing that that's the principles, we should recognize that our prayers revolving around that can also have so much more in it. There's so much, like you said, that can be unpacked.
Yep.
When we talk about our needs, individually, we all have different kinds of needs, and therefore we'd be able to break it down to God much more as to a friend.
Now, after having prayed, Pastor, we my elder, we normally would say praying in Jesus' name. What does that mean? And we also say amen at the end of the prayer. Mm. What do these things actually mean?
You know, sometimes you just think that that's just something that we're just so used to. We don't really ask why. Yeah. And there's a point that actually comes across. Where do we even get this from the Bible? John chapter 16, verse 23. Jesus actually tells his disciples, you know what? From before this, you had never asked anything in my name. But then if you ask in my, but now you should pray and ask in my name. And the whole point of saying this is not just to say that, just because it's something that's nice to say before you end a prayer. Actually, when you look at it, there's the reason why we actually say in Jesus' name we pray is because that is where he is our high priest. I think we talked about this in another lesson in VLP lessons, but the idea is he is our high priest. We come in the authority and under the name of Jesus Christ, knowing that when we are coming, we're not saying his name as some kind of magic some kind of magic spell to get all our prayers answered. But we're saying that we come under the authority of our brother and our Lord and our high priest, Jesus Christ. And he's the one who actually, when if it wasn't for his merits, our own prayers would be useless. And so we say, in the name of Jesus, also we are asked, but we're also instructed by our Lord that we should ask in his name, that the Father may be glorified in what we ask for. But you also talk about amen. It's really that one is actually quite simple. In Hebrew, it's basically a word that says, let it be so. So amen is basically, in Hebrew, let it be so. So it's basically if we were to say, in our modern language, I don't know, can you find something that's a little bit closer to that? But it's basically, let it be. So it's a signing off of the prayer. And it's not necessarily a magic word, but it is even Jesus, the way that Jesus ends off a lot of the prayers, even in Revelation. So amen is let it be so, and let it be. So yeah.
Yeah. And that's how we end our prayers. Now, the kind of things that we do when we pray over, number one, I'm trying to just check what kind of those things that we need to do when we pray. Do we kneel? Do we stand? Do we lift our hands? The Bible says others would prostrate themselves. What position?
Yeah. So if we're to look at prayer, I think one of the best places to look, obviously, is in the Bible and different examples of, I mean, there's so many examples of people praying. When you look at different women and men in the Bible, you find them in so many different positions. Yesterday, I think we touched on it a bit, where when Peter was sinking in the sea, he called out to the Lord, and he didn't have the time to be able to kneel down, close his eyes. And he was sinking in the middle of the ocean, and so he actually just called out to God and he prayed. But then, it also gives rise to this fact that in different situations you have different kinds of prayers. There's some who would actually prostrate themselves in worship. There's others who would raise their hands. But when you look at the different prayers, the idea is basically giving, the thought should be of that of reverence, being able to go over to God, whether it's, that's the principle. To say that there's a specific position that you should be in is to add on to what the Bible has not said at all. The Bible doesn't say that you should only be in this position for prayer, but it does help to be in a place where you know that I am giving reverence. You know that you would be, I've seen some people rush into a bathroom and go and kneel down and pray. In other situations, I've seen people, like we see it in the book of Nehemiah, when he's in the middle of his, in the conversation with the king, and he recognizes that I need the Lord's help at this point. And while he's right there, he gives a silent prayer. Now, what the idea that we should put across is this, that in prayer, we are coming to a friend, and maybe we're coming to a friend, but we're also coming to our Lord. So it should have that reverence in our mind and in our hearts, and we should humble ourselves. If we can find the place to be able to do that, and the same way that when you come to a friend, not all the times can you meet only at a table. Sometimes you just meet along the way and you talk. Sometimes you walk. Sometimes you're able to meet this friend just along the way. Sometimes you get to sit down. Sometimes you get to be able to actually sit down properly face to face and be able to talk. So it's that thought that, yes, with reverence, but also with that regard for the relationship that we have with God.
Beautiful. And then there's a story there in that lesson of Stephen and Kyle. Would you please be so kind and share it?
So yes, there's a story of Kylie and Stephen, where the thought that actually comes forward is this: when talking about prayer, when Stephen actually has this, when you look at this example, it's actually more about how we should approach prayer in and of itself. So there's a story that goes: Stephen himself was with his friend Kylie, college students actually. They're trying to pay their tuition, and they're trying to, like, you know, pay off their food bills and everything. You know how it is when you're a college student. And so they actually, when they were busy doing one of the jobs that they do to try and make up some money, which I'm not sure if you've ever gone through that, Zama, but yeah, having to pay your way through college. And so they picked up an odd job. And what ended up happening was while they were doing this job, Kylie actually stubbed his toe on a certain place, actually got it crushed up to the point where the toe was in pretty bad shape. You looked at it and Stephen actually looked at Kylie and said, you know, you might have to get that looked at. Can we go to the hospital maybe? But then they looked at their pockets and they recognized that, yeah, we can't actually go to the hospital like this. We'd rather avoid that. And Kylie said, you know, maybe I can just take some time away. Maybe I can just take a little time away and maybe my foot will get better. My toe will get better. And Stephen said, well, yeah, but, you know, you might have to take a look at that a little bit. And Kylie said, well, I've prayed about it. Mm-hmm. So I believe God will actually help out over here. And God knows my circumstance.
Yeah.
And I'll be okay. And that's when Stephen said, you want to talk to God, the entire God of the entire universe, about your toe? Don't you think that's a little bit silly? But then Kylie said, no, you know, this is not something that, I don't think that's something small. I talk to God about everything. He cares about every detail of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is too small or insignificant to take to God. If he knows the number of hairs on my head, which I think we talked about yesterday,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure he cares about my toe. And so that's the fact that maybe sometimes we may hesitate to say, but maybe this matter is too small for God. Maybe let me handle this all by myself. But recognize that, no, if it matters to you, it matters to your Savior. And remember, that's who He is. He is your Savior. He's the one who takes care of you each and every moment of every day. And if He didn't care about the smaller things, why would we tell Him about the bigger things? After all, He is the one who said that he who is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. And so let us even take those small things to Him. And I promise you, well, I don't promise you, God promises that there will be a difference in even those smaller things, because he says, let us cast our cares upon Jesus, knowing that he cares for us.
Mm. Beautiful place and a point to end it at for this afternoon, Brother Dumisani. Thank you so much. Blessings to you. We shall connect again, as usual, sometime in the future.
Thank you very much. God willing, let's meet again. And you have a blessed day, Zama. And dear listener, you have a blessed day.
Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.